Hey there, and welcome to Marriage Talks, a real, authentic, and relatable podcast about how to thrive in your marriage. I'm Elizabeth Ann.
And I'm Michael.
And today we have another Faith Pop.
Yeah.
Another Faith Pop.
And we're going to be talking about our Faith 5 musicians
slash musical
artists.
Yes. Before we jump into the episode, though, we want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the Marriage Talks Patreon, where you will find exclusive content and help support our mission to help married couples thrive. All right. You ready to jump into it?
Yeah. So a couple of pre-show items. This was requested to us by a listener.
Yeah.
So kind of got a nice idea for a Faith 5 episode. And also, the reason behind the Faith 5 episodes, you've heard this before if you've heard of Faith 5, but we like to set it up for our new listeners. It is a couple things. First of all, it's a kind of conversational prompt for you next time you go on a date with your spouse and you're just chilling out, like, hey, what's your favorite? Give me your 5 favorite musical artists. And it just kind of is a nice conversation because things can get monotonous, stale very easily in a marriage, especially 2020 seems to be the year that a lot of people are feeling the stress of being in the house together. So we want to give some just fuel for conversation for you guys.
Yes. And we've said on basically all the Faith 5 episodes that this is just a really simple way for you to intentionally have a conversation with your spouse, because having good conversation takes practice. No one is good at it right off the bat. It takes practice. And so we talk about practice. So this is just a really simple topic to just talk about musical artists. And, you know, it may not be life-changing in your marriage as far as like a super deep conversation, but it's just a great way to sit down and talk with your spouse and just have some fun.
Yeah, and it also serves as a way to kind of get to know us. Like, you get to hear our Faith 5 musical artists. So we have fun with it. It's always fun kind of coming up with the list, moving people around, and just really, I always stress over the top one. Do you?
Yes. Well, maybe not the number one, but I always stress about the Faith 5 because I'm like, if it was just like a Faith 6 or 7, then it would be so good.
Yeah. I actually feel like I have more trouble with the 5th one than the first one, because a lot of these ones, like, number one, there's no debate. There's something I like way more than anything else. But number 5, like, there's always like 3 things that are going to make the cut, and then something has to get cut.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, but we got through it, guys. We got through
it. We did. We survived. We came out.
Yeah, all right. So we hope you guys have fun with this episode, because we know we have a lot of fun making them.
We do. So you want to get started with your, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, I went first last Faith 5.
Do you want to go through honorable mentions first?
Yes, honorable mentions.
Okay, the stuff that did not make the cut.
Yeah.
And I am kind of a musical
connoisseur.
Connoisseur, that's a good word. Yeah. I love music. I can listen to anything for the most part. One thing, sorry for you country fans, I am not a country guy. I wasn't raised on it, and modern country just does not do it for me. I do like Hank Williams, and I like George Jones, and we named our daughter Charlotte Johnson after the song Swingin'.
That is a
by
lie.
By John Anderson.
That is a lie.
No, it's
that
true.
Is a lie.
It's not true. We did name her Charlotte. Our last name is Johnson, and the first thing my dad said when we announced her name on her birthday was, he was like, oh, like Swinging. I was like, what is that? And he like introduced me to the song. I was like, holy cow, I had no clue there was a song about that.
Sorry, you had me talk, you were talking, and I was like, oh, there's one that I forgot on my honorable mention list. So
okay, yeah, we did not name her after that song, but it was really cool once we named her that there's a song about a girl named Charlotte Johnson.
Yeah, and it's not a good song.
It's a little bit basic.
It's a little bit not a good song.
Yeah. She hates it. And I play it about once a year. That's all I'm allowed to do. All right. Honorable mentions. Shout out if you love anybody that I mention here. Need to Breathe, Logic, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Avett Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, Owl City, Sigur Rós, and I don't know how they didn't make my top 5. I debated about this, but the Beatles. I love the Beatles, but I didn't get them in my top five. Mm. So that's it. You got a little bit of everything.
You have way less top five than I do.
Pick like 10 of them or something.
No, I'll read them fast. Okay. I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to give a story for every honorable mention.
If you roll back through the Fave Five, I don't remember which one it was, but I was just like, oh, she's going to take up the first 15 minutes on a story on each of the honorable five.
I think our first Fave Five took like 45 minutes. It was long.
That was before we decided we're going to try to cap it at 30.
So I will have you know that when I was preparing my list, I went back to my good old CD collection. Yes, for those of you who don't know what CDs are,
wow.
They came before online music. You had to put everything on a CD. I unfortunately don't have any of my mixtapes anymore because I did make those.
I've never heard anybody call it mixtapes. The emphasis was on the tapes part instead of the mix. Mixtapes. No, mixtapes.
My mixtapes. I used to have a bunch of those because it's back before you could get music on demand. You just had to wait for it to come on the radio and you hit record, like, DJ, stop talking. I want to hear the intro.
I want to say most of our audience knows what we're talking about, but I don't know what our average demographic is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you never made a mixtape.
I definitely made mixtapes.
No, you made mix CDs.
Oh, you're talking about a cassette?
A cassette tape.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, because I got
may be
CD
older,
player.
But not by that much.
I got a CD player when I was like 12. I don't know.
Oh, got a CD player when I was 12.
Yeah, remember when it had like 5 seconds? I remember 5 second skip protection. I can jog for 5 seconds before this will skip.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I remember when it hit a minute and I was like, that's amazing. A minute of skip protection. I can sprint for a minute.
Yes. I had that Sony CD player that you could hold in
the
one
white
hand.
One? And it had a joystick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I had that one.
Yeah, we're old.
Okay. Yes.
90s kids.
Yes. I made actual mixed cassette tapes.
Yeah. And we were born in the 80s, but we're actually 90s kids because we don't remember the 80s too much.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't quite understand that, just because you were born in the 80s doesn't mean you're an 80s kid. You're not a kid in the 80s. We were infants. We were
pooping on diapers in the 80s.
We were toddlers in the 80s.
Yeah.
We were 90s kids. Okay. Yeah. I made a lot of mixtapes, but anyways.
Wait, did you ever sell any out of the trunk of your car?
Oh, yeah. When I was 10 and I had a car, I sold my mixtapes.
Yeah. She had a budding rap career, but it never took off.
I am probably the worst rapper ever. Okay. Yes.
You're a better candy rapper than actual.
So I went through my CD collection because for whatever reason, my Spotify is just not a good representation of the music that I like. Partly is because because I'm at home with the kids, I don't listen to the music that I like because some of it's just not kid appropriate. And so, I'm listening to kid music all the time. So I had to go into my CD collection. But here are my...
Oh, I'm seeing it right now. It's so long.
It will be quick.
You're going to get quick. Cool.
I'm going to read it quick. Okay. These are my honorable mentions. And there were a couple at the end of my list that just missed the Fave Five. It was really, really hard for me. Okay. So Beyonce, Meghan Trainor, Elvis Presley, Chicago, Jason Mraz, Alicia Keys, Dave Barnes, Matt Wirtz, Mark Broussard, The Temptations, Diana Ross, The Supremes, Burlap to Cashmere, Harry Connick Jr., Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole, and Johnny Cash. And the two that missed the Fave Five were Billy Joel and Out of Eden.
Those were like on the cusp.
Yes. It was so hard. It's like if it was a Fave Seven, it would be so good. So yes, those are my honorable mentions. I love all those artists, but they just didn't make the cut. But before we get into our Fave Five, we do want to share our Fave Christian artist.
Yeah. So both Elizabeth and I, we don't listen to a ton of Christian music. So we wanted to tackle this because for me, there's one artist that kind of stands head and shoulders above others in terms of like my actual listening hours. And it was from early, like mid 2000s. I loved this group. And then I got away from them for a little while, didn't listen, but lately have been killing it in their recent releases. That is Shane and Shane.
Shut your face.
I knew it was going to be yours too.
That's mine.
Yeah. So they are, I mean, I remember I met them in like 2004 and they were pretty famous then. And they're still putting out like some of the best stuff. Like if you want to just get down in
biblical, like
biblical songwriting, it is ridiculous how it just
they are anointed. They are anointed. We've both seen them in concert, right?
Yep.
Yes.
You have? I didn't really know you have.
Yeah, yes,
in
college.
They did a concert at my church in like 2004. Maybe it was 2005, but I did get to talk to them real briefly. And fun fact, I went up to the stage before the show. I don't know why I was there ahead of time, but I went up to Shane Everett, the main Shane.
I couldn't tell you.
I went up to Shane and I said, hey, I got starstruck because I listened to them a lot at this point. And I was like, hey, you guys ready to rock? And he's like, we don't really rock. And I was like, okay.
He should have just been like, yeah, man, and then let you walk away.
But he was right. They don't. They were doing an acoustic set, and I don't know why I said that. But like, what do you say to an artist before they go on stage? I still don't know because I didn't find out that day.
If you know, message us on Instagram and let us know what you say to Shane and Shane before they go on stage. But yes, they're very, very good artists, seriously anointed. They write biblically sound worship music and just stuff that will have you on your knees in the best possible way. I've danced to one of their songs.
I remember that. We had just started dating when you did that. Yeah. You did a number to one of their songs.
Yes, their music is just phenomenal. It is just phenomenal. And they just came out with a brand new album it's called Vintage, of worship songs that like we sang when we were growing up.
If you graduated high school between 2003 and 2006, it was all the youth group songs you would have came up with. Super, super cool.
Yeah, but I'm talking about stuff like I remember from elementary school.
Okay.
Stuff that is, what is his name?
Chris Tomlin.
No, before him. 90s powerhouse.
Mullins?
Yes, Rich Mullins.
Rich Mullins.
Rich Mullins stuff. Rich Mullins, yeah. Good, good stuff. Anyways, yes, Shane and Shane, that is our favorite Christian artist. They're phenomenal. Definitely check them out.
All right, so let's get on to our fave five.
Yes.
I'm going to let you start.
No, you start. That's why I said you start, because I started last fave five.
I was just trying to be nice. All right. All right, number five. This was the one I agonized over, and I could probably put three or four artists in here, but since we have to stick to the rules that we set out, Led Zeppelin. I love Led Zeppelin. I discovered them actually later in life. I'm only 33, but I probably found out about, like, I knew about Led Zeppelin for years, but I actually like got access to them with Spotify, went through it, and it's like, I love everything they do. They set the stage for so many other artists that I like and just kind of changed the entire game for that genre of rock. And everybody in that band is so good at everything they do. John Bonham is one of the best drummers. Robert Plant is such a good lyricist and singer. I could go on and on. I love Led Zeppelin.
I have a feeling our lists are going to be very different.
Yeah. I do have a prediction, though, and I'll let it go at the end.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Spoiler will be held.
Okay, my number five is Justin Timberlake.
Yes. Good.
I think he is, like, he and the team that he surrounds himself with is phenomenal. I've listened to him from NSYNC all the way to his solo stuff, everything. I very, very much so enjoy his music, his 2020 experience. I loved how each song had a main motif, but it had like two separate tracks in each song, or two separate songs in each track. And I really, really enjoyed his latest album, even though a lot of people didn't, but
Man of the Woods.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was
kind of controversial.
I thought it was phenomenal.
It was weird, but I thought it was in a good way.
Being an artist myself, I see and appreciate how artists change. Like, I don't expect a musician to put out the same stuff every album. That would just be ridiculous. And I would be sorely disappointed all the time. So I appreciate when they evolve and grow, as long as they are staying true to like who they are as an artist. And it's also quality that they're bringing forth, not just like, I'm just going to mess this album up and throw whatever I want down, like putting bagpipes in a rock song.
Ooh, that was AC/DC, not Led Zeppelin.
It doesn't matter. It was a terrible choice.
Well, one thing I love about Timberlake is that he's kind of like, oh, he's pop. You know, he's one of the most popular artists in the world. That guy is an artist. Like, he does not give in to the whole pop, you know, conveyor belt thing. I think everything he does, first of all, he goes like 5 to 7 years between albums.
Yes, he does.
That is self-control. And that means he picks stuff that he wants to do.
Yeah, putting out quality stuff.
Because he's Justin Timberlake. I love Justin Timberlake, for the record, and I kind of am surprised it wasn't on my list as well. Because he actually is one of my favorites.
Yes.
Quick story, we'll move on. 2020 experience was super cool and meaningful to me because when I was finishing grad school, we were married, and I had to do 4 months in a different town, like over 2 hours away from Elizabeth. So that album came out during that time period, and I listened to that song. I didn't really have a lot of podcasts back then because it was 2013, and I listened to 2020 over and over and over, to and from Augusta to Gainesville, Georgia, and I absolutely wore that CD out.
Yeah.
So it is one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
So he's my sub number five too. All right, number four for me. All right. So this is one of those ones that you may not have ever heard of if you stick to pretty kosher music. This is very much like the depths of hip hop. But there's a rap duo called Run the Jewels. I discovered them about 5 years ago. They have 4 albums out. I can't get enough of them. It's super vulgar.
I was going to say, if you are not a fan of music that has language in it, just pass right over it.
Skip them.
Don't worry about it.
But when I work out and I need a little bit of pump, you know.
Oh, yeah, that stuff will get you pumped up.
RTJ is all energy all the time, and I kind of love it.
They do have really cool rap styles because it's two guys, and they each have their own unique rap style. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things is there's a song from their third album called Oh Mama. When you buy new headphones.
I was going to say, is that the song?
Yeah, it's called Oh Mama from Run the Jewels 3. When you buy new headphones and you want to test them out, play that song. Make sure you have your EQ to where you have like hip hop or bass booster. Otherwise, you might miss the full effect. But when I got new AirPods, when she got her Power Beats, like that song bumps. It is so good.
Because are we old for saying that song bumps? It is.
It's so good. You got to check it out.
It is. It's a song that's like, oh yeah. Yep. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. So they're my number four.
All right. My number four is Mandy Moore.
Hey, our favorite actress too.
I love everything that she's in, all of her music. I think it's fantastic. Her latest album that she released is just
fire.
Seriously. It's amazing. I just think she's a stand-up person and she's a really great artist and she's just super intentional and she's so cute with her hubby who's also an artist. And
Taylor Dawes.
Yes. And they play music together and it's just so sweet. But she is very talented and I just love the work that she does.
Yeah. And we love This Is Us so much. That's the best show on TV.
Holy cow.
If you don't think so, fight me.
Please don't.
No,
but
don't
it's a fantastic
me.
Show.
Yeah, it's very good. You should try it. We're on number three?
Number three.
Okay. It's funny because all of these that you're saying, I actually love them a lot too. I don't have them on my artist list on Spotify, and that's what I used to make this.
That's why I went to my CDs.
I don't know where my CDs are.
I don't think you kept many of them. You probably threw a lot of them away. I have all my CDs. They're in like big
binders,
CD binders. Yeah.
Yeah. And holding a CD binder makes for me think of why we went to digital. It's like, this stinks. All right. Number three. this is the group that got me through high school and was like the soundtrack of 2003 through 9. Dave Matthews Band. I love DMB.
You do.
One of the things I never have achieved yet, and I need to actually do with you before it's not possible, is go see them live.
They are good musicians, for sure.
Yeah, super, super virtuosos. And I got, Crash and Under the Table and Dreaming. But the main one that I listened to all throughout my senior year in the car was Live at the Red Rocks in like 95. I knew all the breaks in that song, all the songs and all the solos. I could time it out. I could do like the drum solos with air drums.
You're really cute. You're like, here, let me play a track for you. And then you'd be like, just wait, the part's coming up. This is like with CDs. So before you skip to the part, it's coming up, I promise. Just wait.
Yeah. But I love, one of my favorite things about Dave Matthews Band is the drummer, Carter Buford. I can't remember his last name. But I think that's right. But he absolutely carries the band. It's so cool. I'm enthralled by anybody who's that good at their instrument.
That's good.
And I think that a lot of this stuff has to do with where you were when you heard a group or what was going on in your life.
Yes.
Like if you had a bad breakup and a certain musician got you through it, that's pretty exceptional. You'll remember that forever.
Yes. Yes. Nostalgia has a big sway in, I think anything.
Sure.
Anything that we hold like dear or consider a favorite. All right. My number three is Michael Bublé.
I knew he would make the list. Also, you keep hiding your list from me like I'm going to look at it.
Because you do look over here. Michael Bublé. And for our 1 year anniversary, it's funny because for our 1 year anniversary dating, we unknowingly exchanged concerts. But Michael got us tickets to see Michael Bublé in Greenville, South Carolina. And he had this whole day planned. And if you've never been to Greenville, South Carolina, it is such a cute, quaint, beautiful little town that has a gorgeous park. It's also the place where Michael proposed a few years later.
Yeah,
but
because of this night, it was so special that it became a huge point in our relationship.
Yes, you took me to have Italian food, which is like one of my favorite genres of food. Genres? One of my favorite kinds?
Styles
of food? Works. Anyways, and we had got in the car and parked somewhere downtown, and he literally was like, cover your eyes and you can't look, and he's leading me across this busy intersection, walking me somewhere, and then we stop, and then he starts singing I've Got the World on a String, and I freak out in line and I was like, did you give me tickets to see Michael Bublé? And he's like, yes. And I like start crying and people around us are like, what is wrong with this girl?
Yeah, crazy.
And it was such a fun, fun night. If you've never seen him in concert and he comes anywhere near you, go see him. He is an excellent, excellent concert. He's phenomenal live, super entertaining. It is worth it. I know tickets are not cheap.
Chicklets.
is what I'm trying to say. Tickets are not cheap. However, it's so worth it. He's really, really great. And yeah, so he's my number three.
Yeah, that guy can put on a dang show.
Lord, let me just tell you. So he's in an arena, whatever the arena is in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't remember it. But this is an arena where like they play basketball and hockey, like a sports arena. He's standing on stage and we are up in like the second balcony. He pulls his mic away and you can hear him singing. That's how, like, from the depths of his soul, he's singing. It's amazing. He's such a talent.
Do you remember the opening act, Naturally 7?
Yeah, they were good.
It's like a cappella kind of guys with the skill that's unbelievable.
It's like Boyz II Men on steroids.
Well, it was like way before Pitch Perfect came out.
Yes.
A cappella became huge. These guys are a cappella, and one of the guys beatboxes to do the drums. Ridiculous. They're probably on Spotify, Naturally 7.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number two.
Numero dos. And we're down to I kind of agonized over two and one. They kind of a little bit.
Interesting.
Number two, the Black Keys from Akron, Ohio.
Yes. You do love the Black Keys. They are good.
I will put on Black Keys for basically any reason.
They are very good.
They are, if you don't know them, they are it's just a guitarist and a drummer, Dan and Patrick. They're from Ohio, and they started out making very, very raw music. Just two guys, literally drums and guitar, very distorted. Some covers, some originals, but I just love their music. It's so grimy and good. And they got a lot more polished as they got making more albums and doing some record deals. But I will, it's one of the things that back before Spotify, I would buy an album that they wrote before I hear it. It's like, I just know it's going to be good. Yeah. I don't care. I'll listen to them any day of the week, and they never disappoint. Some of the recent stuff is a little more controversial. Some people love them. Some people don't with the new stuff, but I love all of it.
El Camino is a good one, right? That's the name of the album.
It's one of my least favorites, actually.
What's their first album called?
The Big Come Up. I think they made it in like Dan's garage, and it sounds like it, and that's why I like it so much.
What's the Hounded for You? Brothers. Okay, yeah,
Brothers was the 2010 album that I actually found them in 2010. Shout out John Mobley. You're the one who introduced me to one of my second favorite group ever.
Such a sweet friend.
Yeah, but their first three albums are like garage band kind of stuff, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I could like put it on repeat. I could, when I type documentation at the end of the day with physical therapy, Black Keys is where it's at, and Run the Jewels.
Yeah, Black Keys is a good album to roll the windows down and just drive. If you appreciate a good drive, and if you hear this and you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And if you listen to this and you're like, I don't know what she means by a good drive, you haven't had a good drive yet.
And you need to also do that drive to listen to the Black Keys while you're driving. Windows down, and it's got to be like a 1978 Cadillac DeVille or El Camino or something.
No, I would play Black Keys while driving the 4Runner. All the windows down and just...
That's why I love her.
Just loving life. Just the drive just soothes your soul. It's a good combo.
Yeah. I got her into it, if you couldn't tell.
Okay. My number two is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, one of our songs is September. Every time, like, that is just our jam. And I love the disco era. Michael's not the biggest fan. But Earth, Wind, and Fire,
I like
seriously,
them, just for the record.
Yeah, musicians, phenomenal, love their stuff, I love them. I wish that I could have seen them, like, the original. That would have been incredible to see them, like the original Earth, Wind, and Fire. Because I know they've replaced a few members by now, but
probably.
Oh my goodness. I love the disco era. I love them. We would have that stuff. We would have Earth, Wind, and Fire and just disco music, Bee Gees, all that stuff playing in my house growing up. That's probably that and classic rock is like my parents' favorite music, and so we heard that a lot growing up, but September is like our song, and so I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, correct. This might be actually inaccurate, but the song goes, say that you remember, Daria. But the 21st, is it the 21st of September on the song?
I'm pretty sure they sing the 21st of September, but
I asked you to be my girlfriend officially on the 23rd.
Yes, you did.
And I missed it. I didn't realize it did that until afterwards.
But that's why we sing it, 23rd day of September.
Yeah. And then we got married on the 28th day of August, and it was another missed opportunity.
Well, you know, you had certain breaks in school, and that's all we could do.
We had 1 week between semesters, and that was didn't want to do it the 2 days before we go back, so we did it the first part. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's my number two, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We're down to the final one.
Final one. Pew, pew, pew.
Oh, my phone won't turn. Here we go. All right, I remember it anyways. All right, this is an Australian group. They wear different colors. The Wiggles. These guys are fire. They make me want to get up and move. Yeah,
what?
Just kidding. No, that's not it. You know,
our kids would say the Wiggles is their favorite group, but
those guys are worth millions, by the way.
They are.
So it's not the Wiggles for real. She already knew this and she knows it because I haven't named him yet.
Yes.
It's John Mayer, baby.
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
What a talent.
Soundtrack to my younger life. And remains the soundtrack. It's like, what do I want to listen to? John Mayer. Then why not? Nothing else is better. And I guess he's controversial too. My brother didn't really like him a long time ago. I don't know if he still feels that way, but.
If you don't like him.
He's the best.
You keep your opinion over there.
Yeah. So talk about a genre chameleon. So he came out doing singer-songwriter in like 2003 with, you're going to hear some songs on this version, but I want to run through the halls of my high school. Then, and he did that. Heavier Things was excellent. That was my freshman year at UGA. That was my soundtrack that year, that and Jack Johnson. And then he did Continuum. Now, this is where my fandom for John Mayer went crazy, because that album was my favorite album to this day, hands down, except maybe if you consider Where the Light Is, which is the live version of Continuum, which is, you know, that's kind of unfair. But we probably shared this story too on the podcast at some point. Our first date ever was an absolute disaster. I know we shared that story.
We have shared this story.
Yeah. But Continuum was what we listened to on the way home, when I was just like thinking, my mental dialogue on the way home was, that was a disaster. I just threw away my one chance at my dream girl, and that sucks. But we're going to listen to Continuum because it's the best album ever. Turns out that was probably the highlight of the night, where we actually sang to the songs on Continuum as I watched my dreams walk away from me. And as it turns out, that didn't happen. She's right here beside me. And that John Mayer, you know, I just found that early on that we connected over him. And the second part to our first year anniversary was I bought her Bublé tickets. She unknowingly at the same time bought me Mayer tickets in Atlanta at the Verizon Amphitheater.
It was a great concert.
One Republic opened for him. They were awesome too. But he is, if you haven't seen him, he's the best. Again, I like true artistry. Yes. I don't like it when somebody writes a song for you and you just play it. That's fine. It's for whatever. But when you write your own stuff from your heart and you play it using your own fingers, I've got respect for you. And I love that man. And I would love to meet him at some point.
Yeah. He's also a watch collector, which you dig as well. Michael's into watches. Not that he has a bunch of watches, but he appreciates a very, very nice, well-made watch.
Yeah. If I ever meet somebody who has a Rolex, I know what model it is. And I can probably pinpoint around when it was made too.
Yeah. It's quite a talent you have.
So here's my theory. Okay. On our fave five comfort foods, I guessed mine was
French
fries.
Don't say the first one. Don't say what it is, because if they haven't listened to that comfort food episode, you should listen to it.
Yeah. So I made a prediction. We had the same prediction. I was right. I have a prediction. John Mayer's her number one too. It's one of those things when you're together a long time, it can happen. And if it's wrong, I'll feel so stupid.
Well, today you don't have to feel stupid, because you are right. John Mayer is my number one. I started listening to him when he hit the scene. I love his early stuff, even though to some people he sang weird.
He did though early on, and he fixed it.
Well, sure, because it was hurting his vocal cords, but I love everything that he's put out. I know that one of his albums was not well liked.
Battle Studies.
Yeah, I loved it. That's the thing, is like, I feel like when you are an artist, when you're not just a consumption of art type person, but you're an artist and you've created things, you understand and appreciate that artists have to evolve and change and grow. And even though Continuum is still one of the best albums, and I agree with you that Where the Light Is, they're like tied for first. I could put on Where the Light Is and listen to it 50 bazillion times and never get old. But you, as an artist, you grow and evolve, and you put out things that may not be as great as, you know, Continuum or Where the Light Is, but it is still quality music. And had you not put out that art, it wouldn't have gotten you to where you are today. So you have to grow and change and create. I just love everything he's put out. He seems like a really cool guy to hang out with. He's got a lot of memories for us. when Michael's talking about listening to Continuum on the the epic fail of a date, he told me that he didn't listen to any of the slow songs on that album. And I said, excuse me? Those are some of the best songs on the album.
I've come a long way, people.
You skipped right over Slow Dancing in a Burning
Room.
No,
I listened to that one a lot. I swear that one I'd listen to. Mm. Maybe that's after. I don't know, but I love that song now. It's been 13 years
since that. It's been a very long time.
It feels like I listened to that track forever, but maybe you did turn me on to that.
You skipped all the slow songs.
Okay.
That's what you told me.
Your memory is better than mine, so I trust that.
And I said, no, you have got to listen to the slow songs. Take the time, listen to them. They're so, so amazing. I love his rendition of, it's a Jimi Hendrix song.
Bold as Love.
Yes, Bold as Love. I actually created a dance to that song.
Yeah, and I listened back to, I love Jimi Hendrix. He made my honorable mentions. His version of Bold as Love, I do not like as much.
Yeah. I feel like John Mayer's is a little more cohesive, but I love it. The concert that we went to for our 1 year dating anniversary, it was a phenomenal concert. We have not been back to see him since then.
He doesn't come to Florida.
He doesn't come to Florida because my sister is very well versed in the music industry. And she's like, it's just not a part of the touring belt or whatever. And I'm like, do you know how much money's in Florida? Come
here.
Well,
it's because the geography wise, if you're on a tour bus, you have to go down so far.
Yeah.
And then come right back up. And your next thing in like Birmingham or something is going to be like 16 hours from Miami or whatever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense.
Yes. I just wish they would bite the bullet and do it anyway. But I just love his music. So he's my number one. And I will not, like, I don't skip over any of his songs. And he's probably the only person that I've listened to everything that he's ever put out.
Yeah.
Of all the artists.
Same way. I'm the same way. And that to me is why he's number one, because everyone else I'll pick and choose like, I really like that. But John Mayer, none. Absolutely none. From like 2002 all the way to 2020, it's all absolute majesty. That's my word of choice. That's the word that came to me. I don't know. So I swear, and it's funny because two of these episodes, I think it was our last episode, maybe two Fave Fives ago, we ended up with the same number one. I think part of that is like we've been together a long time. We don't plan this stuff out. I have no
we
clue.
Don't. We keep our Fave Five lists very secret. It's like, don't be looking at my list. Don't look at it.
Get out of here. I'm making my list.
Don't look at it.
Yeah, that's pretty fun though. I kind of had a feeling when we decided to do this, we would end up.
Oh, yes. I knew it. But it was still fun to hear all the ones leading up to it.
Yeah, sure was. Very different styles.
Yes.
Disco sucks.
It does not. Before we sign off, though, with this episode, your challenge for this week is to, on your next date night, talk with your spouse about your Fave Five artists, your Fave Five musicians.
Yeah, and pick a track or two. If your spouse isn't really familiar, you know, in the days of Spotify, Apple Music, you can pull up anything, but play something for them, and talk them through like why it's a cool track and something like that. And spouses who are hearing songs, be gracious with that because you'll get your turn right afterwards.
Yes.
But it's cool to kind of just connect over that. Just music, hopefully, I think music, is such a cool thing to, feel emotions and really connect and just feel great.
Well, and you learn more about your spouse too, which is always great because we don't stay the same. And sometimes you might have met your spouse later in life where you didn't know about like their growing up or their high school or college experience or, when they were young adults. Like if you weren't around for that, then getting to learn like why an album was so impactful for them, it really helps you to get to know them and learn more about like what makes them tick, why they liked the album, why they liked the artist. Those are all really good things to learn about your spouse. So I feel like every time we do a Fave Five, I learn more about you.
Yeah.
Even though we've been together for a long time.
Yeah, super long. So long.
So oh my long. God.
So anyways, that's it for this episode. Again, this is super fun. And you guys are the reason we keep doing this.
Yes.
And if you have any episode ideas or Fave 5 episodes or any questions at all for us,
let us know.
MarriageTalksPodcast@gmail.com. We are on Instagram. We'll leave all the connections in the show notes. So go there to connect with us. But until next time.
Yes. And please, please, please share this episode with a friend. We would love it so much. It just means the world to us when we see that you have shared an episode. I kind of legit cry every time. So yeah. Thanks.
And subscribe to us. We love it. Bye.
Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Bye.